Today we're going to begin a new sermon series. This one's entitled, The World is Plunging into Chaos, with this being part one. And this series has a subtitle because I was torn between the two in one respect, but this goes along with it. And that is, How Prepared Are You? We see a lot of things happening. It just gets crazier and crazier out there. It really does. But sometimes if we're not careful, we can kind of become numb to some of that because that becomes our norm. And it's hard to remember what it was like 6 months earlier or a year earlier or 2 years earlier. And so to see those changes, since we're experiencing it on a daily basis, sometimes we may miss some of that and not be moved by it to the degree we ought to be. So that's part of the purpose of going through some of this sermon today because of what is going on in the world. We need to be abreast of it continually. But before proceeding into this new series, I want to make some comments about last Sabbath's sermon. It was the second one given by a woman, and I really appreciated the fact that if some were wondering if she would speak again, well, they had their answer. And it's the first given by a woman who is ordained as an evangelist, because at the time she gave the first one, she wasn't, and she was later. And not only did that sermon reinforce what was given at the feast, but it built upon what was given by a deeper insight, if you will, into what such changes are making and will continue to make into the millennium, into the future. And what I really appreciated, all from the influence and experience of women, of a woman. Sometimes it's easy to miss some of that thing, that type of thing for men, not to realize what women have gone through for so long. We haven't lived in their shoes if you're a man. And the reality is we can hear about certain things and try to appreciate some of those things, but to experience something is a totally different thing, and it takes a different perspective and appreciation, understanding, and all that that goes with it. So anyway, I just want to make comments about it because it kind of goes along with some of the sermon here and what we're going to go through. Because in addition to all that, it was a sermon that was strong and balanced in its focus on God's government. I not only fear, but I know that sometimes, depending on where we are in our growth, that I can talk about government a lot, but to understand it, how it affects your life, how it affects your thinking, how you actually live it or don't live it, or to the degree you do or don't live it, or where at in between, is a difficult process. We think we know, we think we understand those things, but so often I hear things, I see things that I realize, no, it isn't really grasped to the depth it needs to be, should be, that we'd like it to be, but we're in a growing process and always have been in the church. And it's something we can focus on a regular basis to have a better grasp of it, seeking a better grasp of it. And when we hear about the subject, not to just dismiss it or think, well, I've heard those scriptures before, and then tune out, because we tend to do that a lot as human beings. We can hear a certain area of scripture and kind of tune out and not realize how important it is of what God's giving to us. So even though I made those comments, I would say that a lot of people don't know what I'm speaking of when I talked about how that she focused on government a lot in that sermon by what she said, and supported government in a very powerful way by what was said. So it might be good to go back and listen to it again and see what you hear at some future date, whatever that might be. Now concerning this new sermon series, we completed our meetings that were held down in the Dallas area 2 weeks ago. And first there was a yearly corporate board meeting. We have to do this, or the church has to do this, not we, not me, because it was expedient for me to be taken off the board a long time ago. Anyway, because of a corporate setup and the government, and to be able to afford people the ability to have what's called a 501(c), I think it's called, which means a tax-exempt corporation, and that people who donate to it can receive benefit then on their taxes. So anyway, you have to have a certain structure and certain organizational things that take place on a yearly basis. So we did that first, or the board did that first, six members of the board. And then after that, we held two organizational meetings, and they were called organizational meetings because there were some invited there that were not a part of the ministry, but it was a part of organizing things and looking ahead and covering some of the things that I'll be going through in the sermon series. And probably we'll break some of this up into different titles as we go along, not just the world is plunging into chaos, but at some point, because of the subject matter, we'll probably have a different title, but still relates to those meetings that we had in Dallas. And then finally on the last meeting, which was a ministerial meeting, which was geared toward, which is what we normally have had in times past, geared toward those who are serving in the ministry in the sense of the leadership of the ministry in the church. So anyway, different than what we've had in times past. So it was unique in the sense of going through some of the things that I'm going to be going through in this series, because I'll just read some of my notes because I don't want to miss this. Unlike ministerial meetings that have been held in the past, these meetings were not, again, recorded for the ministry because it wasn't that type of function, if you will, or it wasn't geared toward that. So it wasn't for that purpose. In times past, we put things on what we call the EMC, and it's our management console for the ministry, elders, and people can go in there then and listen to those lectures that have been given in times past. But anyway, we're going beyond that. Those things have pretty much completed their purpose, and if they're not already off, if I haven't mentioned to him, I'll probably mention to have those taken off because there's no point in those anymore for the ministry. Anyway, so the reason for some of this is because I wanted to use these meetings to help better prepare for this particular sermon series and the sermons that might follow it for a while. So it's kind of a testing ground, a maturing ground, a churning ground. Just kind of going through some things that I knew would develop into some sermons. And so there were things thrown out and discussed that helped to bring this to the forefront more so I could have time to look at it, to think about it, to pray about it, knowing this is the direction it was going. So gone through all that process, and that's why we are here. Because I knew that was the purpose of some of the meetings we had, and that was to prepare for sermons that would follow and get to the point where we would be able to go through these. And more than now, to be built upon what was given or discussed during those meetings. So I found them very rewarding, exceptional in that regard, very inspiring. And I might even add in there, in one respect, gone through a lot of different ministerial meetings in times past, and they've been unique in the sense of primarily training and working with the ministry and what the church was doing in times past that we're not doing now. And we'll go through that in a future sermon as well, or a series of sermons. I don't know what it is, but at this point here. But in times past, there's been a training process within the church for a lot of reasons. And some who have knowledge of the worldwide Church of God in times past have tried to make a relationship between some of those things, and it's not the same. It hasn't been the same in the Church of God, PKG. It's been different, and God's had a different purpose in it as well. And there are a lot of lessons to be learned from that by everyone. And so, again, we'll go through some of those things later, but they are unique. It's a matter of coming to understand what God is doing, why He's doing it, and why He's doing it that way. Everything from era to era is not the same. God is not molding the same thing into everyone that He has through every era. Everyone has been called who has been called in different eras of God's church, if you're looking at the first seven eras, not talking about this last period of time that has to do with a group that has come together in that respect as a remnant church. But in the seven eras of God's church, people were worked with for a different purpose and because of the molding God is doing. There are different things within the temple that are to be built, that have to be constructed. And so everyone is not to go through the same thing. There are different things that are focused upon at different times, different experiences that people are to have because of what God's molding in them. And the more you come to understand some of those things, the more awesome it becomes how God works in our lives, because He doesn't work with us all in the same way. Neither has He in PKG, because we're not all the same. We're not called to the same purpose. We're not called to the same place where we fit in. God does that. It's by God's handiwork, by what Him and His Son are doing, that make this so profound of what is taking place. We don't understand all that, but we have the choice of yielding ourselves to that process, whether it be a part of the 144,000 for this period of time, or for those who are going to be able to have that opportunity to move right on into a new age in the millennial time as a part of the foundation, the beginning of the church. Awesome. So this brings us to this point here, that the world is plunging deeper and deeper into chaos. I thought it was interesting listening to the news today. They talked about how chaotic things are getting. It's a word that's beginning to be bandied around a little bit because people see how mad, how nuts things are, and they don't have answers for all that. But one great thing that they're having to come to face and experience without answers yet is that government does not work. Mankind's government is found wanting in such incredible ways. And that is being magnified now more than any other period of time in human history, primarily because of technology, the means of communicating today that are so much greater than what they used to be. Things are instantaneous out there, as it were. And it's a crazy world we live in that respect, and it's misused by mankind. But God's bringing it to the focus. People can't govern themselves. Can't govern themselves in the different nations out here between nations. Can't govern themselves within nations. Absolute chaos. Madness. And I think it's an awesome thing that mankind is being brought to that point, so that when the millennium begins, they don't have to look too far back because they have experienced it. And when they're brought to humility, they'll be able to come to a point where they can look at that and look at what's in front of them and be able to address more honestly and clearly. It was crazy. It was out of control. It was something that couldn't be resolved ever by governments, by people. Definition for chaos: a state of utter confusion or disorder. That's all you see. That's all you see out there. A lack of organization or order. Well, people tend to think something is organized or they're organized, but if it doesn't function together, this is the result: chaos, disorder. So that says a lot about the state of the world, but what's coming is better given by a definition of chaos used in physics, but needs to be applied physically to this world. This definition more closely describes the state of chaos this world is headed toward when things truly begin to erupt. And that definition is behavior so unpredictable as to appear random, owing to great sensitivity to small changes in conditions. Now, if you understand what that means for physics, then to think of how it might apply to mankind and to the world today in a physical way, there's something to be learned in all this about chaos. Because, well, let me add the thing here about random, the word random. Happening, done, or chosen by chance rather than according to plan. It appears that way, but the reality is it really isn't that way. Mankind is predictable. The nature of mankind is known. There are things that God has told will come to pass, things that are told will happen. And God's hand is in it because God Almighty is the one who is molding and fashioning things to make a change after 6,000 years into His kingdom being established. And so the things that are happening in the world might appear in a certain way to people, but the reality is it's definite. It's all absolute. There are things that happen in physics that are absolute. and sometimes they're difficult to grasp and comprehend by what might appear to be a certain way. And then when the more you learn about it, you realize everything is about law and order. It functions that way. That's been established. Not by like the Big Bang thing, you know. Anyway, so I marvel at that one there, because the reality is it's a good explanation and a good ability to see and grasp and comprehend what's going on, because mankind is doomed. His way of life is doomed. Governments have always been doomed. They're always going to bring about a wrong result. They can never bring about the things that we would like to see more of, peace and unity and cooperation. And instead, there's always this thing, especially when you see it in the corporate world, the greed that's out there and the things that people do. And they don't care about who they hurt as long as they get their peace. I think of FTX. I think I said that right. This money that's somewhere out there in space, crypto, and is taking a bath right now. And a lot of people gave somebody with MIT education, thought that he was surely knew what was going on, and put millions and millions and millions into it. And even some of the companies out here that invest for other people put millions and millions and millions into it. They invested there because they thought he's got something going good here. And all it was greed. Greed, greed, greed. And you think, mankind is trying to come up with something which is a result of his shenanigans in the first place of hiding things from governments. That's why the government is trying to get into that and control it, because they want their piece of the pie. They want a bigger piece if they can get it. But anyway, that's the way of the world. And we shouldn't be surprised by those things. So these kinds of things that are going on, you think of what people put their faith in, everything is doomed. Nothing works. You think of the human nature, that's why it might appear a certain way, but the reality is the result is always going to be the same. Failure, 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 disorder, lack of unity, lack of cooperation, and war. Because that's what it leads to. World wars. Been with it, whether it be a world war or smaller wars, obviously through history, that's the way we are, human beings. Our nature sucks. It really does. From day to day, I can't help but think about that sometimes. I hate it so much. I hate human nature. And really, we should, because it's not the right nature. It's not the right way to think. It's the way of some being that took off in a wrong direction and has created massive chaos in the universe. Tried to destroy the earth. Tried to destroy God's plan. Has several times over. Anyway. So again, this kind of chaos here, this kind of definition, is the state of the world and the reason why it's headed into World War III, something that's absolute, that's going to happen. So before we go on, I think of where we may very well be at this point in time, at a moment in time, that just before some of these things break loose on the earth, of things that are going to catch much of the world off guard, and even for us are going to be things that are going to happen in ways we don't really grasp yet, because we can't know all of them. And so that's why we have to be on guard. That's why I ask the question, how prepared are you? And to realize that the world, yes, is plunging into chaos more and more and more, and it's being magnified more and more. So today I want to begin more by zeroing in on some news. When I go through some of this and throw some articles or some of these headlines and portions of some of these, I am dumbfounded by how fast these things are changing in the world and how little of this. Just a couple of years ago, you couldn't find nothing close to resembling all this, and yet now there are so many things happening between nations, especially what's happening in Europe, between Europe and Russia, between Europe and the U.S., between Europe and China, and within Europe, It just screams. Screams attitudes that have changed. I mentioned that a couple of years ago in going over there and beginning to see that attitude changing there and how they think about this country. And it's not a little thing. It's something that's gaining more and more momentum. And this country is totally ignorant of it. But we shouldn't be. It should be something that helps us to be more on guard, to grasp time. Time goes by quickly. And more to say about that as we go on. But anyway, not this sermon, but one to come. So I'm going to go through several of these and take the time to do it because they move me, because of realizing where we are and what's being talked about, what they're saying. I don't even care about the source because not everybody's true. I don't care what news agency it is. They have their bias. And if we haven't learned that by now, we're not learning what we should learn, truly. There is no news source that is pure by any measure. So I don't care who it is, you've got to work those things into what you read. But the very fact sometimes they're talking about it reflects what's in their minds and the minds of the people they serve that do look to them and believe everything they're saying. I don't care who it is. Fox, CNN, BBC, Al Jazeera, France 24, Deutsche, whatever that's called, and a whole bunch of others out there, all over the world, different kinds of things that are out there. They all have their bias and their formulation of the news, as I tend to do, because everybody has a particular end that they're trying to work through when they show the news. Anyway, even if it's RT, Russian, and things they have to say that are influenced by, I don't care, anything that comes out in Russia media. There's something behind it. You have to think about it. Yes, naturally have a... Does it mean it's all false? Not at all. Sometimes they're quoting verbatim things that are reported in other areas that no one else is picking up on because they don't want to broadcast it on CNN or Fox or whatever it might be. They don't want to talk about that. So someone else will talk about it. Anyway, here's one. Germany's position in America's new world order. The fact that it's even being discussed in the way that it is unique. Germany has become an economic satellite of America's new Cold War with Russia, China, and the rest of Eurasia. Germany and other NATO countries have been told to impose trade and investment sanctions upon themselves that will outlast today's proxy war in Ukraine. U.S. President Biden and his State Department spokesman have explained that Ukraine is just the opening arena in a much broader dynamic that is splitting the world into two opposing sets of economic alliances. And so that's what a lot of this boils down to. Who's going to win? Because it's about money. It's about that which lends then to power when you have it. And so how they go about it to maintain, if you will, a petrodollar, which is kind of going down the toilet in a very big way. It's swirling around with all the stuff that's in there, and it's headed down the toilet. And they keep trying to maintain it and keep trying to sustain it. And it's a lost cause. It's going to come to an end. Everything out here that mankind has established is going to come to an end because this is God's time coming. He's going to take control. He's going to see that it all goes down the toilet. And that the world is humbled by it, begins to be humbled by it, so it can be worked with because there's no other way it can be worked with. What they have trusted in, I don't care. You see some of these things on TV every once in a while, an advertisement will come along and it'll talk about what's happening in the world and talk about how government is working and that debt. They have that machine running up there with all the numbers up there, and they show you what it is, at least when the advertisement was done, and you see the trillions and how much bigger it's getting and how can you save your family, your children, your whatever, and invest in gold, invest in silver. And so people do that. And when it's all said and done, it's a bunch of metal. And you can't eat metal. You can't warm yourself with metal. People think they'll be able to. Oh, maybe you can get somebody to bring some wood over for a certain amount of it, a stash of it or whatever. But is that going to save you? Maybe some extra water, some extra food? Maybe. What do people trust in? What do we trust in? Well, we have to be wise and plan, but the reality is, it's just like Bitcoin. Every currency is going to come to a point where it's better to have Charmin than that. But if that's all you have and Charmin's gone, so be it. Anyway, that's when you don't want $100 bills, you want $1 bills because you have more of them for that purpose. Anyway, I don't want everybody going out and trying to exchange their money now for $1 bills, okay? Stock up on a little Charmin, whatever you like. Isn't that funny during COVID? That became the thing. I think of World War II, they talked about chocolate and coffee were two big things. And now, it's toilet paper. I didn't hear anybody talking about not being able to get coffee or not being able to get chocolate in the supermarket, but boy, the stripped of toilet paper. And I do have to tell you this one here. There was a video that showed this plane coming over this little town, and it was dropping stuff out of it, and it was toilet paper. I don't know if you saw it. Did anybody see that? Okay, if you saw it. But anyway, it just brought out the humor of the thing that people can't get toilet paper, so now they're dropping it by planes, you know? And I think there was somebody that thought that might have been real at one point. But anyway, it wasn't real. I could tell you a lot of other stories, but I won't. We'll get this away from toilet paper. But that's where we're at. Money, I don't care. You can't do anything with Bitcoin. It's any of that kind of stuff. When it's done, it's gone. What can you put your hands on? Some document that means anything? Something that says you have it? Where do you have it? Is it in your basement? Can you get your hands on? Oh, I'm sorry. Anyway, it goes on to say, this global fracture promises to be a 10 or 20-year struggle to determine whether the world economy will be an unipolar U.S.-centered dollarized economy or a multipolar, multi-currency world centered on the Eurasia heartland with mixed public-private economies. They're struggling. They don't even know what's coming, but they know something's happening. One of the biggest things right now in advertising that has given us any kind of feedback as a whole, which right now has been zilch, just shows where the world, nobody cares. The world doesn't care anymore. And then you're so, there's this one thing, it's called Google, I'm going to call it Gurgle, and it's so controlled you can't even use certain words on it to advertise. But one thing that was out there that was able to be used was the Great Reset. And it's about some of these things because that's where people are thinking. What's coming? Who's going to win? Whose side? Because they see something happening, but they just don't grasp it. What an awesome thing that you understand that. That you know why we are where we are. How blessed are you to have that peace of mind to know. Even though it won't be fun. It'll be horrible. President Biden has characterized a split as being between democracies and autocracies. Well, that's to try to get you to choose a side. No pressure. Anyway, the terminology is typical Orwellian doublespeak. By democracies, he means the U.S. and allied Western financial oligarchies. And the problem is that a lot of what's called the West is sick and tired of one country pushing their way, bullying them, into what they can and cannot do, what they should and should not do with Ukraine or with Russia or whatever, with sanctions. And they are really sick up to here with it. And it's starting to spill out more and more, even in societies in those countries. That's the thing that leads to war. That's the thing that led to World War II, if you understand what was happening in some of those countries and how and what they were being told and how people think. Their aim is to shift economic planning out of the hands of elected governments to Wall Street and other financial centers under U.S. control. U.S. diplomats use the International Monetary Fund and World Bank to demand privatization of the world's infrastructure and dependency on U.S. technology, oil, and food exports. It's true. That's true. It's actually a very powerful insight and write-up about what's going on right now and what this country is doing to others that they're getting so fed up with. The country suffering the most collateral damage in this global fracture is Germany. And what did the Germans do when they're in a corner? What is their nature? What has their nature always been? That's why God speaks of it in Scripture. Talks about the Assyrians and their thinking and how they'll be used to do His will. As Europe's most advanced industrial economy, German steel, chemicals, machinery, automotives, and other consumer goods are the most highly demanded on import, dependent on imports of Russian gas, oil, and metals from aluminum to titanium and palladium. Yet, despite two Nord Stream pipelines built to provide Germany with low-priced energy, Germany has been told to cut itself off from Russian gas and deindustrialize. This means the end of its economic preeminence. The key to GDP growth in Germany, as in other countries, is energy consumption per worker. So how do you think they feel right now about everything? When they can't heat their homes, when the populace is suffering and paying horrendous bills, not just in Germany, but other countries as well. But you mess around the Germans and you mess around with some of the wrong people over there because they react in a certain way. I know a little about that. Have to work to keep it under control. Don't do all that well sometimes. We're all different. We have different thinking. But God chose that for a purpose too. Anyway. These anti-Russian sanctions make today's new Cold War inherently anti-German. U.S. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken has said that Germany should replace low-priced Russian pipeline gas with high-priced U.S. LNG gas. To import this gas, Germany will have to spend over $5 billion quickly to build port capacity to handle LNG tankers. The effect will be to make German industry uncompetitive. Bankruptcies will spread, employment will decline, and Germany's NATO leaders will impose a chronic depression and falling living standards. Most political theory assumes that nations will act in their own self-interests. Otherwise, they're satellite countries, not in control of their own fate. Germany is subordinating its industry and living standards to the dictates of U.S. diplomacy and self-interest of America's oil and gas sector. It is doing this voluntarily, not because of military force, but out of an ideological belief that the world economy should be run by U.S. Cold War planners. Well, that's what some want, but they're not fully falling for all that, and to hope that they would do that is going to be very short-lived. It should show you how close things are getting. It's going to erupt someday, and it's closing in on us. How long? I don't know. Hasn't been shown. But to watch things like this, it ought to shake you up to the core of your being, truly, to make sure that you're very prepared for what's ahead. Toward the end of the article, here's a summation. It says, the trick is to try and convince Germany that it is dependent on the United States for its military security. They're not stupid. And this war between Ukraine and Russia has brought so many things to the surface that have been hidden for a long time. And now they have to address it. Part of a design, not by chance, not random at all. It's to force them to address something and think in a certain way. I think of things we've gone through in the church to where sometimes things happen and bring us to a point where we have to make some decisions. What am I going to do and why am I going to do it? This series has a lot to do with that. There are going to be some things that can happen that we have to be prepared for up here so that we're not caught off guard as much as we might otherwise be. Yes, it'll be a surprise. There are going to be things come along. They're going to shock and be a surprise to you. But they shouldn't shake you. And yet I've known of things that have happened in God's churches just shaking people to the core of their being to where they lose everything, their faith, their belief, their understanding. And they go off on some tangent, believing some... Anyway, our history should cry out aloud to us that we not repeat it. And we're being given that opportunity. So we have learned from all of our history and will not repeat the things that have happened in the past. None of us. Going on, what Germany really needs protection from is the U.S. war against China and Russia that is marginalizing and Ukrainianizing Europe. There have been no calls by Western governments for a negotiated end to this war, because no war has been declared in Ukraine. Isn't that nuts? Oh, some refer to it as a war. But who declared it? Have we declared it? Is there war going on? Has it been declared over there? The United States does not declare war anymore anywhere, because that would require a congressional declaration under the U.S. Constitution. So U.S. and NATO armies bomb, organize color revolutions, meddle in domestic politics, rendering the 1648 Westphalia agreements obsolete, and imposing the sanctions that are tearing Germany and its European neighbors apart. And that's what's happening. What does this do to Europe? It's forcing a certain group in their minds to know they aren't doing so well. They can't afford to give up the euro. They can't afford to stop the direction they've started moving. And so to agree quickly, as 10 nations will, it's easier to see how that's going to come to pass. They come to a point where they realize they have to step in and take control and not take any of this anymore. It's so much easier to see today than ever before what's in front of us. Another article says, China blasts U.S. nuclear blackmail. The new U.S. strategy, a declassified version of which was published on Thursday. So some of this news is beginning toward the, I just want to make sure I get this right, ending of October and up through November the 4th. So short period of time. All of this, article after article after article, mind-boggling what's being said in such a short time. So the U.S., new U.S. strategy, a declassified version of which was published on Thursday, breaks with campaign promises made by President Joe Biden, leaving the door open for a nuclear response to a non-nuclear attack. While Biden has insisted the sole purpose of America's nuclear arsenal is to deter or retaliate against the first use of the bomb, the White House approved NPR concluded that such an approach would result in an unacceptable level of risk in light of the range of non-nuclear capabilities being developed and fielded by competitors. Wang went on to say that the updated American policy lowers the threshold for using nuclear weapons, while at the same time hyping up the so-called nuclear threat from certain countries. So they're playing this game and talking about these things back and forth in a manner that hasn't been done. It wasn't being done 2 years ago, let alone a year ago, to the level it is today, talking about this matter of nuclear weapons. And when people start doing this, when nations start doing this, you're getting close, because someone is going to use it first. And I can understand why Russia feels the way it does, though it's not right. I understand why China would think the way it does, though it isn't right. I understand why the U.S. thinks the way it does, though it isn't right in this area. That's why someday it just is going to happen. We already know that. And whether we knew it or not, you read stuff like this and you realize it's coming. There are people in the world who know that something is coming. Not everybody is blinded to this. They know there are things happening, and they fear it. Because once it starts, who stops it? How does it stop? Didn't learn from the movie, was it War Games? This computer is playing chess, plays all kinds of games, and then it plays the War Games, and it faster and faster and faster. Nobody wins. But there are some today who think they can, and that's part of the problem. Russian military doctrine allows no double interpretation on the use of nuclear weapons. This individual says, I can say that we are following very closely, both militarily and politically, the overall evolution of strategies of Western nuclear weapon states, including the United Kingdom, France, and above all, the U.S. We're also following developments in the means of delivery and the weapons itself, Russian Deputy Foreign Minister Alexander Grishenko told Sputnik. The language of nuclear strategies is quite blurry, and we see an increase in the number of scenarios that allow the use of nuclear weapons, including, speaking of scenarios, outside the nuclear context. By the way, this also applies to the French nuclear strategy, Grushenko said. So they're poking things more and more at Europe, Germany, and France, because they understand they're the two primary leaders of the European Union. And so where they can, they're putting their bid in against them. It's a kind of a veiled warning, if you will, unveil, whatever. But it's there. So they play these word games back and forth until after a while nobody plays the word games anymore. Another article, thousands rally against EU countries' pro-Western leaders. Czechia, speaking of the Czech Republic, has been hit particularly hard by the European energy crisis, at least partly because of its historic reliance on Russian natural gas. Households in the country are reportedly incurring the second highest electricity prices in the EU, behind only Estonia. Czechia's inflation rate soared to 18% in September. So these things just get worse and worse. Another one here. Russia announced, and this affects people's minds and the way they think over there, obviously. They're not going to suffer like we're not going to suffer, I should say, like they are to any measure. If there's much suffering over here, it'll be nothing compared to them. Another one here. Russia announces end of mobilization after enlisting 300,000 new troops. So you probably heard that on the news. Russia suspends participation in Ukraine grain deal after massive drone attack on Black Sea Fleet. So it's this kind of thing that leads to a greater war, to a stirring up of things, and it has already. But someday, it just gets out of hand. Just like those missiles that end up in Poland. One stupid thing like that can end up becoming a world war. Anyway, we know it's going to come in a different avenue, basically, but still. There can be some things that happen in advance that you need to be prepared for as well up here. It doesn't mean this is going to be the first thing that happens. We know when the events of the first trumpet take place. But that doesn't mean there aren't going to be some horrific things that happen in the world first. There can be some use of nuclear weapons in the world before that ever happens. So don't think that everything is a nice, neat package. We understand and know what it means by the first trumpet, and then the second and the third that basically are all together in the first place, and the fourth, and then the fifth will be a separate thing with Europe. But these things are going to be very rapid and together in that respect, just like it was in the seals concerning the church. They all were rapid and together. First seal, second seal, they went together. And so it is with the trumpets. But that doesn't mean something's not going to happen somewhere. So when it does, if it does, you shouldn't be caught off guard. You should be prepared up here to realize you don't know everything. We don't know exactly everything and how it's going to transpire and what's going to take place out here. We just understand with a basic framework what's going to happen to this country. And when it starts, we're going to know where we are. You will know then when it's begun and that it's about over. This is an article published by the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency, at the end of October. I'm probably going to mess up this name royally, but that's life. The IAEA Director, General Rafael Mariano Grossi, was in the United States this week as the IAEA held its International Ministerial Conference on Nuclear Power in the 21st Century in Washington. During his visit on Thursday, Mr. Grossi addressed the United Nations Security Council, briefing the 15-nation group on what he described as an extremely fragile and dangerous nuclear safety and security situation at the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant in the Ukraine. Now, this article failed to address, as it was going through some of this, talking about this, some of the other news sources, what they reported while he was on this visit to the U.S. and at a conference held at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace think tank, he also made these comments of how the U.S. had lost global leadership in nuclear power. Rafael Grossi says Washington must walk the walk, as it stated here, if it wants to reign or regain the top spot in the U.S. The U.S. is no longer the leader in the civilian nuclear energy industry, having lost its place to Russia and China. Mind-boggling how fast they're getting out ahead of us in just about everything. Probably makes them feel pretty good. And when to choose a time for war, because that's what much of this is about. And when to choose a time for war. We have to understand that by now that's already decided. This is what they're planning. If we can't grasp and comprehend what China is doing, then we are really blind. So when they decide to do what they're already thinking about doing, because they're preparing for that, and that's what they're building up for. They're preparing for world dominance. That's what they want. That's why they're doing the things they are around the world and spending a lot of money doing it. It used to be the United States a long time ago. Yeah, not anymore. Being passed up many times over by a new and a rising power. Incredible what's taking place right under our noses. And it's like people aren't really shaken by that like they really should be in government. Anyway. What I read the other day here, too, about the U.S., we have, I think it is the oldest system of nuclear power plants in the world now. No new ones being built. They're just, it's like oil refineries. When is the last time an oil refinery has been built in the United States? Being built in other parts of the world. They help modernize some of the plants that exist, but new ones? Because of all the regulations and all the other stuff going on, it pays those companies much in a much greater way to build them somewhere else, not here. Anyway, the Ukrainian war is the title of this. Black Sea grain exports blocked as West slams Russia for breaking their deal. Surprise, surprise. Anyway, just mentioning this because this brings up another part which has to do with the fact that this world is already suffering because of everything that's happened with transportation and crops and so forth and the war that's going on there and then what grain there is coming out of there when you think about how much they help feed the world as well and it can't go out. And it's a... Yeah. Another one here, report. U.S. considering deploying B-52 bombers to Australia amid tensions with China. The official further stressed that when compared to the regular deployments of U.S. Marines in the Northern Territory, the presence of B-52s was far more significant and proved a more open signal to the Chinese that we're going along with Americans, speaking of the Australians, planning for a war with China. They're not stupid. A lot of people are, not realizing what governments are doing today. They're preparing for war. And sadly, it seems this country is pushing for one. I hope you see that and understand that. Things that can be done where a country can push for something that you would think, no, they wouldn't do that. Yes, they would. And that's why some would step in then and do something, because they're not stupid. Finland says Ukraine arms ending up in hands of criminal gangs. Isn't that just wonderful? If it isn't enough to have negative publicity and now you find out something like this, like, you mean all the weapons aren't making it through? Anyway, the world's most heavily armed governments are becoming explicitly hostile toward one another. Oh, surprise, surprise. That's a headline. Another one here, analysis from Reuters. U.S. and allies turn to deterring war with North Korea as options for preventing nuclear tests dwindle. Now that the Norse nuclear weapons are mature and deployed, the United States and its allies are looking to simply dissuade the North from military action. South Korean Defense Minister Lee Jong-suk, or Sup, whichever that is, said last week, the focus of efforts to deal with North Korea should be shifted from curbing nuclear weapons development to deterring their use. There's somebody to watch because they're very likely the ones that are going to be very much involved in what happens in the first trumpet, because it can be made to look like they have done something, but they're getting help. They're not doing this all on their own. Their neighbor has been helping them for a long, long time. And now they supposedly have the kind of ICBMs that can carry a payload a long, long ways, though they haven't shown that specifically yet. Another one here. Russia tests new nuclear submarine. That's from a Navy chief giving this information to RT. Why is that? Some of the things they're talking about are mind-boggling. They're talking about some of the kinds of things that can cause tidal waves under the ocean in certain locations to do what an earthquake could possibly do as far as a tsunami. But they have delved into looking into how to blow something up in such a magnitude that it carries such a force that it makes a tsunami look like a picnic. Let's get out of NATO. Another article here. Discontent soars across Europe as Russia sanctions backfire. Now, to me, that's an interesting article because we knew that was coming. That's what's going to happen. For Europe to become stronger, NATO is going to become weaker because NATO isn't going to dominate and tell Europe what to do, meaning the U.S. So they're taking things into their own hands of what's going to take place until one day they are able to take over what NATO has. Because the U.S. has this trend of not taking all that stuff with them sometimes. Anyway, especially if there's political pushback on it. Former U.K. Prime Minister Liz Truss' phone allegedly hacked by Kremlin spies. Now, why is this such a big... I don't know if you've seen anything about some of this. Now, she didn't last very long in office. When we went to the feast, I couldn't help but listen to some of the things she had to say and feeling she has an impossible job on her hands and this isn't going to go well. But this really made it not go well, and I'm going to tell you why as we go along. It has to do with the pipeline explosion that's supposedly still being investigated that happened, the Russian pipeline. I talked about that just a little bit at the feast. U.S. calls on India military to face joint challenges. Anyway, all has to do with war. EU nation issues warning on potentially deadly energy disruption. At the same time, Finland is reporting far better being prepared for power outages than other EU members. Though the nation has not suffered a national grid failure since 1974, the population has always been encouraged to plan for such a risk. Unlike neighboring Sweden and Norway, the country has few domestic power resources and has to import nearly all of its fossil fuel energy. Some relief is expected during the next few months when the Nordic nation finally brings Europe's biggest nuclear reactor at the, whatever the pronunciation is, power plant into regular use after an almost 14-year delay. Now, the point of this is to bring out their thinking in Europe. They're suffering. We don't know. We can't grasp. You're going to be able to turn on your electricity anytime throughout the winter here. You're able to have gas continually flow, maybe pay a little bit more. There are people over there who can't afford the kind of prices that are there. There are people who are going to die because of that, and they know that. They can't do it. Older people on a certain amount of money they have, and they understand this is going to happen, and they don't like it. And who do they blame? This country for the sanctions that they were forced to put on just at a time when the oil was supposed to start flowing. And who makes a profit out of it? Well, somebody wants to make sure it's not Russia, but it's here. Wheat prices surge on collapse of Black Sea grain deal. Well, just another article. Another article. Iran protests continue as demonstrations defy warnings from government. Total unrest in all the world. Almost 8 out of 10 Americans say things are out of control. New poll finds. Well, that's good to see. Because we have it so easy that too often people don't even think about things like this. And I'll guarantee you after they were asked the survey, they went right back to what they were doing and it didn't bother them much. U.S. willing to use military to stop Iran from getting nuclear weapon. Right. Russia says U.S. lowering nuclear threshold. Norway raises military alert in response to Ukraine war. China warns possible B-52 deployment to Australia may trigger regional arms race. Russia closes Black Sea grain corridor. North Korea warns U.S. of powerful response to Allied drills. North Korea claims U.S. nuclear war plans in final stage. The North Korean spokesperson said the exercises were part of a plot to provoke us militarily to induce countermeasures and shift the responsibility, denying that the military maneuvers are defensive as maintained by the U.S. and the South. Now, they're paranoid. That's what they're being fed over there. Their country's being fed things on a heightened paranoia that defies what we would normally classify as paranoia. It's paranoia XXX. Is that the right way of putting that? 10.0. Whatever. We are ready to take all necessary measures to protect the sovereignty of the country, the safety of our people, and our territorial integrity with external military threats, the official said, adding that Washington will pay an equal price if it attempts to use force against the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. You know, sometimes you can't help but think, maybe their paranoia is even fueled by that big country up north of them. Is that possible? They give them help to build these things, and they also help their paranoia and give supposedly some secret things that they have found that they want to pass along to them about what the United States is plotting against them and what South Korea is plotting against them. And no surprise that they would do some of the things that they're going to do. Another one here, dangerous escalation. U.S. to deploy 6 nuclear-capable B-52s to Australia. U.S. troops on the ground in Ukraine. America Media reports. Pentagon confirms U.S. boots are on the ground in Ukraine. Now, to what extent or whatever, don't hear anybody fessing up to it or talking about it, but it's out there. South Korea air raid sirens blare after North fires missiles. Air raid sirens sounded in South Korea after the North fired about a dozen missiles in the direction in their its direction Wednesday, at least one of them landing near the rivals' tense sea border. Another one here. North Korea launches 17 missiles. A surprising threat to the U.S. power grid could plunge the country into darkness. U.S. will no longer waste its time on Iran nuclear deals or talks. On Monday, President Biden's special envoy with Iran said the U.S. isn't going to waste its time on talks with Tehran to revive the nuclear deal and would use the military option as a last resort against Iran. It's hard for me not to say some things that I don't need to be saying. Some of these things just are so irritating. Moscow wants answers over truss alleged it's done. SMS to Blinken moments after Nord Stream blast. So there was supposed to be, that's why they're concerned about some hyped up. They said there was a Russian ability to see that her telephone was hacked because this is the conversation that came out. It's not much of a conversation. She just called up Blinken and said, it is done, right after the blast took place. So some are trying to put two and two together, and they are coming out with 4. Anyway, it says here, to be honest, I don't care who got this information and how. I'm interested in London's answer to the following question. Did Prime Minister Liz Truss of Britain send a message to the U.S. Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, immediately after the Nord Stream gas pipeline was blown up with the words, it's done? So someone answers. The Russians want answers. They want to know who did this. And some of the scuttlebutt out is there that the U.K. did it for the U.S. If it's ever found out to be the case, not necessarily anything's going to happen immediately, but it sure ramps up things a lot more and makes things a lot more tense in the world and just gets us that much closer to someday something's going to happen. Swedish parties split over NATO keeping nuclear arms on country soil. Well, the Germans will probably take them. The most important country in Eurasia. Turkey is about to become arguably the most important country in Eurasia. Now, I'm including Turkey in some of the... We're just going on and on and on. Maybe you're getting bored to death. I don't know. I hope not. And I hope you realize these kind of articles, didn't exist a year ago. To the degree they are here. We're talking about a one-week period, basically, here. Over and over and over again. These things are so ratcheted up, and the world's becoming numb to it. They really are. Who cares? They go out and play their soccer and watch the games, and everybody's happy. Go to the football games. Of course, for them, that's football. And nobody really cares what's happening in the world and what's happening in the news, and they become numb to these things when they do hear them. It's like, it can't happen. It's, you know, governments have it in control. Russian military leaders discuss use of nuclear weapons, U.S. officials say. Italy freezes arms supply to Ukraine. Putin issues warning over a grain deal. Not going to read that one again. Germany pushes back again against the U.S. by talking to China. Germany Chancellor Olaf Scholz is set to visit China this week. It marks the first visit, or the first ever trip to the Asian country, amidst growing tensions between Beijing and the West. But the discussion to make the trip, or I'm sorry, the decision to make the trip and the timing behind it is no coincidence. Scholz is sending a deliberate message to the U.S. that Germany isn't going to close the door on China as Washington attempts to force countries to take a side. So they're stepping up here and there, a little bit here and there, talking back, disagreeing with, making a stand against the one they're sick and tired of telling them what to do all the time. That's what it's all about. Swedish military prepares for war, wants kamikaze drones and rocket artillery. Russia to prevent evidence UK special forces behind Crimea attacks. US government war-gamed energy plans for multi-day power blackouts, leaked docs reveal. European lawmakers arrive in Taiwan to show support. Kim Jong-un inches closer to an all-out war than ever before. Another article. Intolerable. Continued North Korea missile launches, including ICBM, put Japan on edge. Netanyahu and far-right coalition win big. PM Lipid concedes election. Israel is still in this, and what's going to happen over there at some point. There are a lot of things that can happen right in that region there that start first before this country meets the first trumpet. South Korea scrambles fighter jets after detecting 180 North Korean warplanes, military says. Russia threatens Norway with final destruction of relations. I'm sorry, shouldn't laugh, but some of the terminology, things they use sometimes, you think, phew. U.S. Space Force data reveals China mystery plane released object in orbit. Now, this was reported in the news here. The unexplained ones, they just have no clue, because these things are moving in ways that we just don't understand, Boswell said, citing government sources, at hypersonic speeds, and then they just turn on a dime. I mean, it's incredible. Meaning they are so far ahead of us, it isn't even funny. And we have no idea how they're doing what they're doing. It just gets worse and worse and worse. So that they get to a point where they grow in confidence, they could win a nuclear war. In all these news articles, we haven't even covered all the articles having to do with drought, famine, various diseases popping up that are on the increase, and all the economic alarms that are going off. Talk about some of those the next time. But it's incredible what's going on as far as the world economy. And it hasn't gotten better over the last year. It's gotten much, much worse. So, a lot of time spent just on news articles, just talking about things that have to do with the potential for war and the potential for world war, so that we don't get to a point where we become numb to things that are going on out there, to where we understand that we live in a volatile time and not ourselves to do what the world is doing and not what this country is doing when people can just slough off things like this and not take them seriously and not be moved or motivated in any way because they don't have answers anyway. What do you do? Well, for us, it should be sobering to be better prepared up here spiritually, drawing closer to God, crying out to God more. So above all else, as we move forward in the series, we need to understand that we do not have a firm grip, a firm understanding, or even knowledge of all the kind of events that can take place before the first trumpet, or even during that period of time. We just have a basic framework. We'll know when it started, that portion of it. But there are things that can happen before that. They're going to begin to shake people up and eventually lead to what happens here, obviously. We just have a basic framework, and that's it. So there will be much that happens that will totally catch us, I hate to say off guard in one respect, but it'll be surprising. It'll be shocking. But it really shouldn't catch us off guard spiritually. And that's the point I'm trying to make in all this. So there's some things that are going to happen in different ways as they unfold that just can't be known. They're not to be given. God's not giving them to us. We just have a basic framework. And they're not going to happen in a manner in some things that happen that are coming in the way we think. And it's best not to even think about some of that because we just don't know. And it certainly isn't wise to speculate what's going to happen between certain countries or at what point and so forth. Just be on guard. Be ready. In the very first meeting, we looked at the scenario of what was needed if something were to happen to me or to both Laura and me. And the reason I'm saying these things and want to make this very clear, I don't believe it's going to happen. Okay? I don't personally believe that's going to happen before everything is complete here, before the first trumpet. After that, things can happen. But up to that point in time, as long as we're able to have Sabbath services, as long as we're able to have holy days, I believe I'm here or will be here. But that's in God's hands. Nevertheless, scenarios of various kinds are good for us to consider. And so that's why we've gone through this, because if we look at the worst case scenario, something that could shake the church, we should be thinking in terms of what other things could happen. Are there other things that could happen that could shake the church? Not that, but something else. And the answer to that is yes. God could allow something to happen, various forms, whatever it might be, that would shake the church. And we can't think that it can't happen. That's the point. Is that you've got to be prepared up here to know what to do no matter what happens. We shouldn't be caught off guard like what happened during Laodicea. And that's what this is all about. It's about being on guard. It's about being prepared. It's about being ready for anything that comes. That we're solid, that we're set, that we're grounded to the core of our being, and we know what things come first in the order of things and how things are to be done because we're convicted of it. But the reality is the whole church isn't. It's the truth. That's why I cringe inside to think what would happen if something were to happen to me. Do not think things would go smoothly. There'd be many listening today, not a few, who couldn't endure it. That's the truth. Pray that doesn't happen for the sake of the church. And I hope you understand that. And I hope you understand some of the reasons why. And hopefully as we go through the sermon, you'll grasp some of that more deeply. And it has to do with conviction, what we believe and what we're living. And that's why I mentioned the sermon last Sabbath, that there were things said about government that I know that there are people who don't understand what was said. Because I look at the spirit of a matter, just to be candid with you. And that was filled with the spirit of the matter. And it came from God. Just to reinforce that. Because it goes along with us as well. And what we're covering. How can you know that? You can't. God just has to give it. So again, that's what we looked at the very first meeting. That's why I want to mention this up front. Because the point of all this is that if something were to shake the church, we're ready. We are prepared. It's not just a matter of preparing. We'd better be prepared at this point in our lives spiritually and know what that means. And that's what the series is about in large part. So, again, the question it was asked here. I'm going to rephrase it. One of the first questions that was asked, what do you believe? And I'm rephrasing some of this so it fits the entirety of the church here. What do you believe would be one of the most important things needed by everyone if a great shaking event happened to or within the church? Now, there at that meeting, I specifically spoke of if it happened to me, as an example, or to both my wife and myself. So, what's needed? What would people need to see in one another? What would we need to do ourselves? Well, it's unity. Oneness. Oneness of spirit, because the oneness of spirit is with God, and a conviction that we know everything that God has given to us, we understand that, and we hold on to that with all of our being. Nothing should shake us. But I hear comments from time to time, things that are said, sometimes people not thinking about what they're saying. We have a burst that comes out the wrong way. Anyway, we have all have bursts that come out the other end. That's life. But for them to come out of here, we need to be more on guard. And we try to be on guard about the other, too. Just being clear. It's life. But it shouldn't be just life when it comes to what we say. And it shouldn't be a burst that stinks. Some of them stink. Because they're not in unity, they're not in oneness. It's not a matter of understanding government, believing in the things that God has given to us. For if it was, it would never have happened. It would never be said, whatever that is, that isn't in unity and oneness. Simple. It's that we all speak the same thing in agreement with God and Christ. Because that's a conviction then. We know how God has worked with us. We know why we know the things we know, because there's a method to it all. And the reality is, if we're not a part of that method, we're actually cut off from God's Spirit. I think of the things that happened in worldwide, and people had to believe in their mind somehow that there was a special relationship they had with God, apart from the church. And ministers fell into that same pit, if you will. Disgusting. That such a thing can happen. But it happens. It's been a history of the church ever since it began in 31 AD. Didn't take long. And Paul had to start addressing various ones. Ministers who had done some of the things they had done and had to be disfellowshipped. Sad things have to come to that sometimes. But if we're not of the same mind, we're not in unity and oneness, God takes care of that one way or the other. Thankfully. And I think I even mentioned something like that at the meetings. Maybe I mentioned the sermon. I think it's one of the primary things that has been strengthened within God's church, that if something comes down to that, that I know it's been given to me, above and beyond what we practice in worldwide, to deal with the matter, to deal with it quickly, and to let it be known. If it's a matter of disfellowshipment. And I have no hesitation in it whatsoever. And it doesn't matter who it is. If anyone does something wrong to the point that requires that, so be it. And we should be thankful for that, that God has so blessed us, because it strengthens the body. It's like Passover and thinking about that and understanding what Paul had to say about the church and how what one little piece of leaven can do and how it hurts the body. But when that can be gotten rid of, how much better the body is because of that, that we're stronger, we're better. It's a spiritual thing. So again, it is that we all speak the same thing in agreement with God in Christ and all that's been given to us through those whom God in Christ worked most directly through or toward the church. And right now, that's me and Laura and Audra. That's about the role of the place that God has given to each of us in His church, in the body of Christ. And if we understand that, we have a certain mindset then toward that and understanding how God works in our life. Also, so that there is a better unity, I want to mention this here. I also mention, because that created certain forms of judgment that shouldn't have existed, where people misused it. And that is the fact that eventually came to the point where got rid of the expression of associate elders or senior elders. So I made a point and change at one time to elders, strictly elders. And so sometimes it's as though some didn't hear that, and that pops up. And the reality is everyone that's ordained in that respect is an elder today, not an associate elder who has been ordained as an elder and not a senior elder. And it helps to get rid of one factor alone, and that is the matter of judgment that one might be better than the other. See, there's a problem with that. There's a problem with that. And there's a problem in the mind that did happen within PKG, not just once or twice, but many a time because of that. And God allowed that for a time. And also, there is no such thing as evangelist or senior evangelist. Everyone is just evangelist. Just exactly the same in ordination. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Joshua the Christ, that you all speak the same thing. If we could have that fully, 100%, that would be such an awesome thing. But it's never existed in God's church. Never has. Now we're closer than ever before in that. Large part too, because we're so much smaller. And we're able to have the ability to have sermons given to us that, candidly, I know what's said, or I'm even saying it, one of the two. And there's nobody out here having their own ability, as happened in times past over a period of time, teaching, because in time, if we even had that structure today, as small as we are, in time it would begin to go off course, because I don't have the ability to oversee it all. And it's a spiritual matter. And it takes that with human beings. It's just the way it is. So, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Joshua the Christ, that you all speak the same thing. That means we're in unity and oneness. We're not talking about something different. But when we have conversation and talking about something, whether it be a sermon like last Sabbath or whatever, it's all because it's in agreement and we're talking about things that we all agree with. It's exciting. It's good. It's rewarding. And that there be no divisions among you. Because when we don't speak the same thing, then there's division. Audra had to send out a letter this past week. And it'll be hard. Not the letter, but the person it was sent to. And I asked her to deal with it herself. Now, I can read what she writes, and it's me writing it. I've tried to tell the church in times past, even the ministry in times past, that where she is spiritually and what she grasps and comprehends is above them all. Now, I know that there are those who probably haven't fully believed that, but the reality is I know it to be true. So she could write something and whatever, and I hear myself because it's of God's Spirit. It's the same mind. It's mind-boggling. And even jokingly used the expression with her at one time, she probably won't like this. Say, way to go, grasshopper. It's like, it's there. But everyone can't have that. Everyone doesn't have that. It's a matter of God's Spirit and how God's Spirit works. But something had to be said to someone, and it was about government. It was about the ministry, and someone had done something that they don't really grasp by their comments and reply back, that it was about something that only the ministry should have done. no matter what they think they heard, no matter how they interpreted it. Their actions reflected something that should only have been done by the ministry. Now, sadly, it wasn't 100% received. And that's just calling a spade a spade. And I know there was repentance, but not fully with understanding. Because we all tend to interpret things by our own experiences and by what we think and by what we have many times already judged in our own minds about something in relationship to others in the church. And because of that, sometimes it's very hard for us to hear something. Because that hearing has to come from God. It's of the Spirit. That's why I mentioned that sermon. We didn't all hear the same thing last Sabbath. I'm just telling you. You didn't hear. Everyone didn't hear everything that I heard. Just going to be blunt about it. And I heard government in a manner that reminded me of things that went back to Herbert Armstrong. And my thinking and my love toward him. And how God was using him. Anyway. Everybody doesn't have that. Doesn't see that. So, going on here, if one of the scenarios were to happen that I've mentioned, brethren need to see unity, no matter what might take place that might shake. We shouldn't be shaken to a point that we are rattled in our faith. Faith is a matter of what you believe. We should all believe the same thing. We should be deeply convicted of all the truths God has given to us. It's our mind, it's our life. And yet I think of people who, not even just a recent time and going all the way back to even 2008, because what an incredible thing that took place to realize that there are people who understood that there was an apostasy. They believed it. Understood that there was a man of sin, a son of perdition. Believed it. And what did they believe when they left? And what did they believe when they went back to some other organizations that don't believe those things? They don't see it. What happened? What happens in a mind that can do that? That's a mind cut off from God. You can't have what you had before. And you'll find other things that you begin to believe in or, yeah, whatever. It's a horrible thing. But we should all believe the same thing. Therefore, we should all speak the same thing. It's one thing I used to be so amazed at when I first came in the church. You could go to any church anywhere and realize we're all, as a whole, we were speaking the same things. What we knew to that point in time, we were speaking the same thing. We'd sing the same songs and we received the same things out of the songs. To me, that was such an incredible thing. So everyone needs to see anything happens, an orderly transition, if that happened, or whatever might take place, to wait. Because God will show us if something happens that might otherwise be shaking in our thinking, you wait. And God will show it to you in His time. You might even have to wait a while. After the apostasy, we had to wait a while. It didn't all come at one time. A little bit here allowed for more to be built upon it, so we had a little more here that led to another thing built upon here. And after 3.5 years, we were finally set to move on as a remnant church. Awesome how God's worked with us. And so whatever would happen, if anything is to happen, does happen in the future, even as it happens in the world, it should never be one of speculating. Yeah, some of that stuff is so dangerous to get into speculation, who's doing what or what might happen here, or, and especially if it happened within the church, who might do this or who might do that, and will she give another sermon? Yeah, and more than that. So, speculate about it, talk about it. Sometimes things aren't wise. Why would we talk about something like that? You think that's not dangerous to do? You think that's okay to do? To raise a question? Well, why don't we just wait and see what God does? Because that's what it's all about. It's God's church. It's not my church. It's no one's church except Christ's and God's. We belong to them. What a beautiful thing. But we have to know how that functions and how that works and work within that in unity and oneness. No speculation, no disagreement. I hate to keep bringing it up, but it reflects something. We had quite a bit of disagreement when that nasty little bug came along called COVID, you know. And we hadn't learned our lessons yet. We hadn't learned what it means to have unity and oneness. And someone has to make a decision for the sake of the body, regardless of what it is, if we're convicted that God is working in that manner. And if we're not, then why are we here? But if we are, and we've been convicted of how God's Spirit works within the church, how it has been working, and all the proof we have of that, that should bring in our minds, because if we can't see that, we are so blind. The proof that Herbert Armstrong was God's apostle, the ministry lost it as a whole. They lost it. Think, how is that possible? Could it happen again? Oh, yes. No speculation, disagreement, discord, or rumor. Rumor comes when people start talking to each other, maybe in other areas too, and talking about something different and bringing up something. And why? Is that what we all believe? Are we all in unity? Is that something that's been taught already in the church? Because if it hasn't, we need to be ever so cautious and careful. Because there's one way. The things that are new, the things that are true, are brought into God's church. It's the way it's been since Peter began speaking. So the meetings you might think, why is he getting so strong in some of this? Because we're not there yet. We're not there yet. You're there when you don't have to sleep anymore. You're there when you don't have to have a nap. You're there when nothing hurts you. You're there when you're spirit. Until then, we're still physical. And we have these battles. And none of us are perfect. We make mistakes. We do things as human beings. And we have to repent. And there are various levels of that. Wherever we are in our relationship with God. So the meetings we held in the Dallas area were first and foremost directed at some very basic matters that we need to consider as being, again, part of our being on guard, being alert, and which means we're prepared in the best manner possible if something were to come along to shake the church. So within the church, we have to consider potential scenarios so that we're not caught off guard spiritually, and so that we not become shaken by anything that happens to or in the church that has a potential for shaking. That includes this leadership, as this is one of the most important areas to consider as we move forward, because if we can grasp that scenario, then everything else will fit into place, and I hope you understand that. If you can understand that one, then you can understand the potential for anything else that might happen to be prepared. Because the same principles and the same reactions apply to everything that could happen. And I want to mention here too, I think of the situation where some scenarios you have to consider. Some things you have to think about. It's just wisdom. I'd be a fool. I want to read that if it's right here. Yeah. The first thing we addressed in those meetings, again, concerns the church leadership. Essentially, that was about how each should respond if something were to happen to me, to Laura, or to both of us. We don't even know how far time's going to go on. though the world and what's happening says it's getting very close, but we still don't know. And anyway, so as I said, I really don't believe none of those things are going to happen as far as me is concerned, but I'd be a fool if I didn't work to help prepare the church for any kind of scenario that might come along. That's why Herbert Armstrong and Garner Tidd had made a determination at one point in time, before Garner Tidd was gone, that neither one of them would ever fly in the same jet. If something happened to one of them, the other would be there. That was at a time belief that if something happened to Herbert Armstrong, Garner Tidd would take his place, of something that the church would have been in agreement with and a smooth transition in that respect, until things happened later on and began to take the thoughts and ideas of that potential away. But anyway, so again, is preparing for the worst case scenario, and that's a matter of wisdom on our part. So I want to just mention to everyone, because I want to cover some of the things we're covering, and it should probably be inserted here, that over the past year and up to now, I have once again been working to streamline the ministry with fewer serving in those areas. And in the future, that could be changed, but likely will not. It just depends on how God leads the church. And I don't know until something's given as to what direction we're taking or what we're to be doing and how we're to be doing it. And that's why we're even going to go into some of these things in a deeper way of understanding some awesome things that God did concerning what took place within the church, beginning especially around 2005 to 8 and through there, especially as we got closer to 8 and then on past that as well. And we've gone through a lot over a relatively short period of time, though 2008, you look at it and think, well, it's quite a while ago, but it really wasn't in many ways. So the question was asked or brought up. So if there's no apostle and if there are no prophet left in the church, so we understand, I think, what would happen if there's no apostle, then the next matter would be a matter of realizing that there are two who are ordained at the position of prophet. We all understand that. Smooth transition. As both would work together, obviously. One's a little older than the other, but still working together with the church, and things would go on just the way it would be. And then if something were to happen to all three, which I don't believe, but it's something you need to consider and think about, then what would happen? What would happen? Because we should know these things. These things should be in our mind to understand how God works. It's not an easy answer, is it, necessarily? Is there a senior evangelist? An evangelist? Any junior evangelist? Just evangelists. And that's what the church would be left to deal with, to work with. And so, what would take place? We'll just pray that nothing like that ever happened. But if it did, there would be no one individual that would be over the others. That's just the way it should be, because it's a matter of ordination. No one can place themselves in the position there. It would take a long time to go through that if God raised up someone else to be a prophet or an apostle. But the likelihood of something like that happening before the end of the age, I don't believe with any of my being that's going to happen, period, no matter what happens. So there would be several individuals who would have to work together in unity and oneness to work things out. And that could be a trial and a test for the church. It was also addressed along these lines, what would be taught and or what might be changed concerning the teachings of the church. Hope you have the answers to that. Because you see, when Laodicea came along, the ministry started losing that. Everything they knew came through one source. Everything they understood came through one source. So we should understand there would be nothing new doctrinally, period. So what do you do? Well, should be obvious. No teaching would be changed. So the church, speaking of the ministry as a whole, did not continue on with what God had given through his apostles, speaking of what took place after Herbert Armstrong died. And these truths were not being periodically addressed in literature or in sermons to the detriment of all the church, because they should have been regularly in every church area addressed from period to period to keep people unified at one with what God had given his church. But that wasn't the case as a whole within most of the church. Didn't happen. So that very thing led to a much deeper Laodicean spirit. That's why Laodicea happened, because people lost focus of what God worked hard, what Christ worked hard, of what Herbert Armstrong yielded himself to and worked hard to accomplish and teach and stabilize within God's church. And when you look back at that history, it should almost make you want to shake your head and think, how on earth did such a thing happen? It should have been a no-brainer. I think of going into refresher programs and sitting there when they tell the ministry how to prepare sermons, when it really started getting stupid, and talking about how you kind of are to copy the ways that ministers in the world give sermons. That's what was being taught, homiletics. Don't look the word up. And you think, oh, this is some scary stuff. No longer a matter of God's Spirit and how God's Spirit works. Not a matter of maintaining and teaching what we had learned through God's apostle. That was never mentioned. Never mentioned. God's apostle, his name just wasn't being mentioned as a whole. Think of one man that I feel confident was talking about some of those things and some of what he taught, but as a whole, it wasn't there. I hope you see what led into a deeper Laodicean spirit within the church. Things that we're to hold fast. I think of that time is running out, and that big old sequoia, and what are we to hold fast? It's what it's about. The trunk of the tree. And you can't get your arms around that thing. They're huge. But we're to hold on with all of our might and with all of our being, because everything that God has given us is there. And what he has through time, the truths. Anyway, we'll stop there today. And things to think about, things to consider, things to understand. We always have work to do, and God is showing us how to refine some of this and become even stronger. What a blessing.